we roll back into the book of Luke. We're going to continue with the 18th chapter, and I stretched this 18th chapter out longer than I usually stretch out things. I chose to. I mean, if there was any reason that I stretched it out so long, it was so rich. And when we look at this 28th verse, where we're starting tonight, let's cover just a couple of things that we've seen. We've seen Jesus has talked a lot about humility, humbling, and how those that exalt themselves will be brought down low. Tonight, I want to focus in on Jesus' prophecy of himself, the life that he lives, and what he showed his apostles showed the humility that he wanted. Jesus' prophecy about himself, the life that he lived, and what he taught his apostle or showed his apostle, showed the type of humility he wanted. If you took the converse of that, you would show the path to greatness. This is what Luke is showing Theophilus. Totally outside of the realm of what others would think. And if you'll read, you can help me develop this, please. Verse 28 rolls right after the man that was rich and asked Jesus what it would take to inherit eternal life. And he determined it was more than he was willing to give. And he determined that if that's what it takes, what you say, I don't want it. But in a real sense, it's almost as if you let me tell you, I'll do it. And Peter came up with the statement, Lord, then who can be saved? And let's roll from verse 28.
Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting.
If we look at what Jesus had told what we call the rich young ruler, to give it all up, lay it aside, put your emphasis on what true emphasis are, the riches that moths can't corrupt, rust can't mess with it, neither thieves break through and steal. But to put your trust in God, and the way that Jesus showed it is to sell all that you have, come follow me. Peter said, we've done that. You've already said, Jesus, that the things that are impossible for man are possible with God. We've left all. I had a business. John had a business. Matthew had a business. What do we get? And Jesus begins to show them. We have shown high humility. Although people say Peter was rash in the mouth and spoke out of turn. How many of you have left your business to follow him? How many of you have left your security and followed him? How many of you have followed someone that people mistreat and talk about and make fun of? And he's saying things that other people don't say. And although you get to see some glimpse of his glory, you also get to see the vitriol that's thrown against him. Why? Because he's left all. He's left heaven, laid aside his glory, has not acted independently of his own to follow God. I submit to you that Jesus models that which he teaches. And Peter says, we've left it all. What do we get? First thing we have to understand is Jesus is going to answer his question directly. Sometimes Jesus don't answer questions directly the way we think of directly. He says, understand this one thing. There is no, we add the man in there. That means there's nobody that has left their house, their parents, wife. You got a wife that you spend time with me, you could be with her. are children of the kingdom of God. Say, there is no one that have placed me above, that has exalted me, exalted my purpose, which is the purpose of God, and humbled themselves so much so that they would exalt the things of the invisible God that have been made manifest unto men, because he has clearly showed man who he is by what he has created. There is no man that has not that has humbled himself that much that will not be exalted. What do you mean exalted? He shall receive manifold more. In the economy of God, when you give up, truly give up to follow him, that's when you start to be put yourself in a position to receive. Jesus is saying here, I believe that this is for everybody. Everybody that would give up house, home, brothers or sisters, lay that aside and put God first. They will receive more, and in the world to come, life everlasting, the very thing that the rich young ruler was looking for. Take me to verse 31, please.
Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again.
Read 34.
And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken.
I wonder how many of us read that and we don't hear it. I wonder how many of us read that and it's hidden from us. I wonder how many of us read that and not really understand that Jesus again is talking about humility. That Jesus is again talking about the exaltation. That Jesus is once again showing the disciples that for the individual to be right in the presence of God, God has to be lifted paramount above everything. Let me show you what I believe. The scripture says here, he took the 12. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written, all things that are inscripturated, all things that God has said, all things that by the authority of the Word of God that is written concerning the Son of Man, the most glorious one, the one that is supposed to sit on the throne of David, the one that's at the right hand of the Father, the one that every nation, tongue, and tribe will bow to. This one, the Son of Man, this one, according to the scriptures, he's going to bow down and humble himself to the scriptures. Because the scriptures must be exalted. Because the scripture is God's will. And God's intent, and the Father's intent. Therefore, it's my intent. I delight to do thy will, O God, the scripture says. So he says he took them and said, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man must, they shall be accomplished. I have not just left the riches of heaven. I have not just left my throne. I have not just left the position that I was in to come down here and take humanity and be able to suffer. But let me help you understand something. I must go down lower in order to help you all. I will be as your Jewish Messiah, the Jewish anointed one, the blessed one of Abraham, the son of David that was promised. I will be delivered to the hand of the nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles. Imagine that. Your Messiah, your Lord, being handed over to the, as people say, the heathen. And shall be mocked. One thing to be handed to somebody,
but to be mocked, shamefully talked to, made fun of, made derision of, spitefully entreated, treated with disdain.
and honor and spit upon. Can you feel it? And somebody just spit on me. And if that's not enough humiliation, then they're going to mess the guo. They're going to scourge him. And they're going to bring him down as low as man has the ability to bring man. They're going to bring him to death. Because I'm willing to humble myself. Even unto death, even to the death on the cross. But when I do that, Jesus says, on the third day, I shall rise again. When Paul talks about that, he says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things on earth and things in heaven and things under the heaven, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, I say every tongue, everyone that put their hand on him, everyone that mocked him, everyone that spit on him, everybody that called him a bastard, everybody that called him out of his name, everybody that said that he healed by Beelzebub, just like when the ones that mistreated Joseph had to bow the knee, the time will come that he will rise the third day. The Bible says that when Jesus got out of the grave and before he left, he told the disciples, what? All powers wherein? In my hand. I submit to you that Jesus showed, he modeled, that the way to God's glory is the humility to his word, being humble to what he wants, and God is the one that lifts one up. He showed it in many ways. He showed it with the little child, let them come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He showed with the one that beat his chest, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm not able on my own, I'll humble myself under you to walk in your will and see myself the way that you see me. And the rich young ruler, you wasn't willing to do that, but Peter said, we did do it. You did do this far, but let me show you how far I go. I'm not telling you to do something that I didn't do. I'm not only humbling myself, but notice the word I use. I'm going to let them humble me more. I'm going to let it. And on the third day, I'll rise again. So when it says that they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, I believe it was hid from them what was going to happen. That they didn't really understand how he was going to be beaten. But I think if they had really fully known that they're going to treat you like this and humble you like this. You've already said how they treated the prophets. But on the third day, you really going to get up? You all might have took it lightly. Well, Jesus, if you're going to get up the third day, what's the big deal? And then you have to go through and explain that this is a real beating. This is a real suffering. This is a real taking whatever comes my way because I believe God's way is right. And for me to find any other way to do this would be me exalting myself above his will. And so Peter and the rest of them just got a taste of something he said. What is that, Tim? Mark gives a good illustration of it when he gives his. Mark said, you'll get all that houses, home, wives, brothers. And then he says, with persecution and the end, eternal life. Those of you that will humble yourself so that you can be exalted, it's not just that you humble yourself and everything's okay. You humble yourself and on top of it, you get made fun of. You humble yourself like a child and you still get castigated. You humble yourself like a publican and say, Lord, it's me that's the problem. Have mercy on me. And when he does have mercy, you still are not accepted in the eyes of men because they don't accept God. That's the ultimate of humbling yourself. Jesus uses the illustration of this. Take up your cross daily if you're going to be my disciple and follow me. Help me with verse 35, because it looks like there's a transition here, but I promise you it's on the same vein.
And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man said, sat by the wayside begging.
A certain man that is helpless in that culture, a certain man that cannot see in that culture, a certain man that cannot do for himself fully in this culture, that's really at the mercy of good people, as a child is at the mercy of the parents to do for them. As a person that really is in sin going before God wants forgiveness is at the mercy of God. Here's a blind man that's at the mercy of people, and he sat by the way begging, asking for help. But what happened in 36?
And hearing the multitude.
His ears worked, and he could hear people moving by him. What did he do?
He asked,
what is all this noise? What's this noise? Well, all this walking and making noise. What's up, partner? Please read.
And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by.
Let me see if I can do a Bob in. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. How did he respond to that?
And he cried, saying, Jesus, thy son of David,
have mercy on me. Do it again.
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Does blind man stop begging for stuff that maybe could fill his belly? He stopped begging for stuff that maybe the next time he could get somebody to do something for him because he has a coin. He stopped begging for somebody maybe to show him some mercy and compassion to lead him around. I say that this blind man humbled himself to beg and humiliate himself in front of people because just like that publican, I can't see. I can't help myself, but there's someone that I've heard about that can. And I'm going to humble myself. If I got to look stupid, I already look bad when I beg, but I'm going to humble myself and ask for the whole, and can I use my Mexican friend's food? Enchilada. I need it. As some people say, the whole kit and the caboodle. Read and let's see what he says.
And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more.
If you just hold right there, and they that went before him, he is humbled himself, coming as that beggar did in the parable. Jesus is showing not only how he does it, what will happen to him as he prophesies, what will happen to you disciples as I teach you, but I'm going to model how it is those that come to me humbly, how they'll be exalted. But there's somebody that's going to treat that beggar the same way the disciples were doing those little children. Do you hear my words? That people were bringing the children and the disciples rebuked them. Now, here's another object lesson for them. The people are rebuking them. Shut up. Be quiet. The teacher goes by, he don't have time for nothing like you. But the man did what?
Cried so much the more.
You trying to put pride in me? You trying to put pride in me for me not to beg? I'm not in a position to have pride like that. Not with helpers on the way. He's trying to not only put pride inside of you, but he's also trying to make you doubt that humbling myself can mean anything to the Lord. But he cried, the Bible says, so much. It didn't say one time. It said so much. The more. I don't know what that much mean, but the word. Listen.
Police
the more. This man, he put it out there. He put it out there. And when you look the word up, it said, being a large number and a great many. Do you hear me? He cried so much. That, like, imagine you being blind. Imagine you got to wait till somebody leads you. Imagine you putting food in your mouth to eat and you don't know what it is. You get used to the smells, maybe the feel, but you still don't know if they put something in it. And even if that is for so long, whatever they give you, you can't see your mammy. You can't see your pappy. You haven't even seen the Lord Jesus with your natural eyes, but you see him. And you humble yourself so much the more, and you cry, and you call him something that most of them didn't. Oh, I submit to you, the blind man can see so much better. I submit to you that the blind man was humble enough to be exalted. He called him that magnificent name that God had promised to David that he would have a son sitting on the throne forever. What did he call him, Ann?
The Son of David! Have mercy on me!
He did much better than the rich young ruler. The young rich ruler came and he wanted to know, let's say, good master. Some say he said teacher. Some just say he just went up there and wanted to know. I submit to you that the sweet words that flowed from his lips sound as if to me that he was doing some of the same thing that Daniel did when he said, is there any good thing that come out of Nazareth? And Jesus said, behold, the Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. I see no guile in this man. I believe that his eyes being out helped him be able to see. And instead of seeing the things and instead of being built up by people, he already was humble. It was easy for him to humble to God. I submit to you that sometimes when we have a lot and when we have the prestige of men, I've watched it in my own life, watching people, it seems like it's harder to see Jesus as the Son of David or even care. But he said, have mercy on me. What's the difference in what he's saying than what the publican said? One was in sin, and the other one had the very things that in that culture they would have thought was brought on him because of sin. I remember John 9:31 and John 9:30 where the man was born blind and Jesus healed him. But what does verse 40 say? Help me, Ann.
And Jesus stood.
The procession stopped. I submit to you, when Jesus stood and they were following him looking to get whatever they could get from him, when Jesus stopped, that's what stood means. It don't mean that you're moving one foot in front of the other or that you're falling. Jesus stood in what?
And commanded him to be brought unto him.
Bring him to me. Bring him. I think that when they cried out like that and all those crying, I believe Jesus heard the first one. And when that man showed that he wouldn't relent. And when Jesus, yes, Lord Jesus. See how Luke tied that thing together? That's a beautiful point there. That widow wouldn't stop and Jesus wouldn't. And Jesus stopped because that man wouldn't stop. And come on to me. And when he was near what?
And when he came near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight.
Now, he didn't just ask to receive his sight. First, he asked to have mercy. Let's not forget the mercy. Then, in the mercy that I might receive my sight, I submit to you that man had some sight. You see, in some cases, people go to Jesus and they want to know what they want, and they tell them. And he gives them some information, and they act. And sometimes they might go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Here, this man said that I might receive my sight. And what did Jesus say?
Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee.
Jesus said, receive it. At my word, do you really trust me? Do you really believe that what I say? Do you really believe me? Receive it. Your faith has sozoed thee. That means to rescue, to keep you from danger, to keep you from harm. This is the type of word that's talking about goes deeper than just his eyes being open. His faith saved him. Read some more of that, please.
And immediately he received his sight. And followed him, glorifying God.
Well, he could have went home. He could have went to all people. Y'all used to pick at me. Look at me now. I can see. You told me I'd never be able to see. You see, I can see now. I can throw a rock and hit you in the head for the way you've treated me. Could have went to give people things that have helped him out. But the Bible shows that this man realized that he wasn't just following anybody. And him calling Jesus Son of David was not just a tokenism. It says he received his sight and did what?
and followed him.
Yes.
Glorifying God.
Yes.
And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
When you can humble yourself before the mighty hand of the Almighty God and let him lift you up, let him put you and give you what you need, glorify God so that it will be of benefit to others. Just like the publican in the parable went home justified. Just like Jesus went back home to the Father, justified. We'll come back. Just like those of us who give up what we give up and with persecution, we have eternal life and it will glorify the Father. The pattern is whatever God says you do it, that shows your humility. Trusting him shows your humility. Being humble enough to God to let God know that we know that it's not by our might, not by our power, but by his spirit. That's a lesson for Theophilus to see, to hear, and to observe. One, number one, that humility, Jesus taught it to his disciples. Jesus talked about it in the way that it was prophesied about him, whatever the scripture says. Now, if you think about the life of Jesus, Jesus asked the Father one time, and Hebrews said it was with strong crying and tears. But no, I delight to do your will if it be possible. If it's not possible, nevertheless, let your will be done. He humbled himself. Disciples, did you get the message? I heard Peter was crucified. I heard James had his head cut off, and I not only heard it, I read it. Paul was crucified. Because they look for something better. What about us? We don't know what's going to come our way the very next day and the very next hour. But when it comes to the crucible moment, figure out what it is that we need to do to humble ourselves to God and trust him to lift us up. Humbling ourselves to God don't all the time mean you're going to get whipped. Sometimes you have to speak up to humble yourself before God because you don't want to. Sometimes to humble oneself before God, you have to correct somebody because God has put that on you. Don't think Jesus just was getting beaten and beaten and beaten because the scriptures say so. Jesus was speaking up for God. He was doing for God. The apostle would do it for God. So don't take it wrongly. In order to stand up for God or to be humble to God, often you have to stand up to man. I thought I'd make that clarification. But when it comes to when we're wrong, when it comes to when we have a need, sickness, problem with sin that we need out of our life before we enter into hell having two eyes instead of one eye, we have to come to God and humble ourselves. Lord, I'm wrong. Beat me down. Make me afraid of you and your terror because it's a fearful thing to fall into your hand. I would rather enter into life with one hand than having two hands in the hellfire and damnation. Because, Lord, sometimes I forget to humble myself to you and I get haughty. And that's not something that you intend to work with. You didn't work with it with the Pharisee. You didn't work with it with the rich ruler. And I know you're not going to work with it with me. You've shown your pattern from the very beginning when Satan tried it. Father, help us to realize that humility to you may not look like humility to other people. It may look like stupidity. It may make us look embarrassed. It may make us seem like we as what they call a Bible thumper. But Father, if we master how to humble ourselves to you, that's the most uplifting thing that we can ever do in our life. Help us, guide us, lead us, and help us to help others to see the same thing, that as you lift us up, especially if it's in this time, others, when they see us glorify you, will glorify you also. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen, and even so, Lord. Amen.